Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. My guests in studio today, a lot of them, and very happy to welcome in longtime friend, college buddy, Jerry Kinnerk, Dr. Jerry Kinnerk. Been living in New England how long, Jer?
Oh, since 1974.
74, so, when you went out there to med school.
Right.
And stayed there, and then you've changed a little bit in terms of your practicing habits and what you're doing now. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, I was a surgeon for about 23 years, specializing in spinal surgery. And then I stopped doing surgery about 4 years ago. And I moved to New Hampshire about 3 years ago to start a new practice. And I just work doing management of back issues, non-operative evaluation and management. Most people really shouldn't have surgery, and that's a pretty set issue. But there's a lot of options besides that, and I help manage people through that. And the occasional good person for surgery, get them set up for surgery appropriately.
A lot of people think, oh, back pain, got to have surgery. That's probably the worst thing you can do is to go in with that mindset, right? Try to find something else, and maybe that's a last resort, unless you're talking about certain disc procedures.
Right. I mean, there are some certain indications where surgery really should be done, for example, on an urgent basis or rapidly, but that's very uncommon.
But not for back pain.
Right. When it's purely back pain per se, most of the time we can get success for that with other options, primarily exercise-based work to strengthen the back, strengthen the core muscles, and work on flexibility and fitness. And that doesn't necessarily completely cure somebody's back pain, but get them decent control, improve their function. And the reason that that's important, yes, it's not a perfect cure, but neither is our surgery. Our surgery is not very effective for pure back pain for most settings. There are some kinds of things where there's abnormal motion between the vertebral bodies where surgical fusion can be very helpful. But for most of the times when people just have degenerative disc disease, surgery gives a fairly mediocre result for most individuals.
You mentioned doing a very, very, very small number of back surgeries and trying to do as few as possible. You could have other alternatives. How many back surgeries are performed a year in the United States, would you guess?
I actually don't have that number at my fingertip, but it's a lot.
Percent of those should not be performed?
Well, obviously, I'm treading on some thin ice on this kind of statement. But actually, let's take overall management of back issues, and that is that probably at least a third, if not more, okay, of what we do is ineffective, both surgical and non-surgical.
Okay.
And in back surgery, for purely back pain, it's probably at least 50% of those maybe shouldn't be done.
What's sciatica?
Sciatica is a situation where you have pain down the leg that is secondary to a nerve that is pinched in the back, usually a nerve pinched in the back. There are some other rare conditions that can cause pain in the leg from a nerve pinched in other places, but that's a little unusual. Mm-hmm. The most common is a disc protrusion. Sometimes a bone spur or other things can pinch the nerve in the back, and it gives this very uncomfortable, can be very awful pain down the leg.
Shooting pain or more of an ache?
It can be characterized in a number of ways,
anyway.
Often shooting, but it can be just a burning, a throbbing, a dull ache. It can be a pretty darn awful pain, actually.
Is it usually on one side of the way that a heart problem would be on the left side?
Yeah, it actually usually is just one leg or the other, but there's an occasional time when a large disc herniation can bother nerves and that go to both sides and therefore give pain in both legs.
All right. Obviously, there's a genetic lottery that you can win or lose in terms of your propensity to have back problems. But how many back problems are created by the way we take care of ourselves, don't take care of ourselves, exercise? You mentioned core strength, diet, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, you have to be careful. You have to choose your parents carefully, because the genetics really probably are the major driver. They certainly are the major driver for the degenerative phenomena in mm-hmm. the back. A lot of people think, well, if I work hard, I wear out my back. And that's just not true. There's not a strong relation between physical activity in the back. In fact, some physical activity is probably protective for the disc. But the thing is that it's really mostly genetics, and it's really also just simply a human condition. Back pain's like, it's like wrinkles and gray hair. You get it.
Most people at some point are going to experience some degree of back pain, right?
Absolutely. over 80% of people will at least in some point in their life have a period of time when they have enough back pain that it disables them either from work or from their normal daily activities. That's a pretty high number. And in a given year, I think it's roughly about 37% of people will report an episode of back pain sufficiently troubling like that.
When you went off to Harvard Medical School, you could have studied a lot of different things. What made you decide that the spine was an area you wanted to concentrate in?
Well, it's an interesting question. The surgery is interesting, even though obviously I speak about not doing a lot of surgery. It still is an interesting surgery. But it's also such an incredibly difficult and disabling problem that you really get to work closely with somebody. It's sometimes a little bit more of a long-term relationship with the patient. And in addition, there is also, because we're dealing with pain, and pain is a thing we process internally, there's a very strong influence of our psychiatric state, and I like psychiatry too. And so our psychic state or psychiatric state or what coping mechanisms, all those features come into how we process pain. So I could kind of combine my love of thinking about people as human beings and the way that they process their world and their pain and their life experience with surgery. And surgery was just one tool to try to fix these people. It's not the only tool. It's one thing that you could be using.
I heard these numbers a while back, and of course I don't remember them when I need them, but maybe you can call them up. In terms of the number of man hours lost per year due to back pain, due to the economic impact in our society because people are out of work or otherwise debilitated because of – I mean, this is a serious area.
Yeah, I should have reviewed my back pain talk before I came in here. It's been a while since I gave it because
like
I do have that number there.
Yeah.
But it is actually billions of dollars of lost economic output, or something in the order of about I think it's probably somewhere like $20-30 billion of economic output lost per year due to back pain problems. It's the second most common after upper respiratory infection for time missed from work.
Okay. You're in great health. You run. You take advantage of all the opportunities up in New England in terms of outdoor sports and a very, very, very active lifestyle. In terms of our parents, comes a point where you can't do all of those things. You try to prolong that period as long as you can, but eventually the aging process takes its toll on everyone. And we are at the point now where if our parents are still with us, they need some special accommodations, and it falls on us. You are back here for several days and taking care of a move with your mother, correct?
That is correct.
And moving to New Mexico?
That is correct, to be close to my elder brother.
Okay. All right. And no problem with her leaving and the whole emotional attachment to this?
It took a long time to convince her.
Yeah.
Because she has been in Michigan really for almost her entire life and in this area for since 1970.
Right.
So those were tough issues themselves. But since my father died about a year and a half ago, she just has enough cognitive difficulties. It was really difficult for her to be able to get around and do what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. I was the closest son at nearly 1,000 miles away, and trying to run a condo and run her health problems when she's 91, it was not an easy task, and it became increasingly difficult. But I did an incredible amount of work, and when I was out here in June and was on your program then, that was at the time when I really worked very hard to get her convinced that she was doing the right thing to go be with my elder brother, her oldest son.
Dr. Jerry Kinnerk, a spine specialist and a New England physician here, our guest on Ebling and You. And Jerry, I think about this in terms of my mother-in-law. And this is an anniversary day, 35 years, as you were in the wedding, so you certainly would remember
Of
that. How about that?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My wife is back with her mother in Westland and taking care of her for a couple of weeks. And I know how difficult it was to get her to move from the house to staying with my brother-in-law. The idea of her picking up and moving to be with another son in San Francisco, I mean, you would need the jaws of life to get her out of there and get her on the plane. So you must have had some pretty good persuasion, or else you were able to couch this in a way I hadn't imagined.
Well, for a long time, we kept trying to approach it that it was, you know, not safe for her to be alone and she needed more help. And that was more of a stick. We started using the carrot gee, you can be near your eldest son. You can listen to him play piano regularly. You can see him more often. The carrot approach really worked a lot better.
Better.
Yeah.
You just have to find the carrot.
Yeah. And she loves listening to Dwayne play the piano, and that was a great carrot for her. And I think she was excited about going. She was saying as we were getting ready to go, she says, we can't be late for the plane. That was totally the opposite of where I thought we were going to need tranquilizer darts to get her on the plane. But we didn't. She was quite excited, and she went, and she had a great flight.
You grew up in Monroe.
Yes.
And then you came to Michigan State, and your family relocated here.
Yes.
On the banks of the Grand River.
That is correct.
And how long did they have that house?
A little over 20 years, I think it was. Okay. And then they moved to a smaller condo because it was getting difficult for my dad to take care of that property.
Sure. Well, some great times. College roommate. He still looks the same age I do, 39. So it was great to see you. And once again, I think we want to spread the gospel about avoiding back surgery whenever possible. Is there a website or do you have some information you could refer people to on this? People who have questions, I don't expect your phone to be ringing at all hours, but is there some place you would suggest people go because there's so much information and misinformation?
Yes. Well, one of the things is if you're looking at the web, avoid any place that's trying to sell you a procedure or sell you a particular practice. There's a lot of good sites that have information.
What about sites that are trying to sell you a product, something that you would take? Once again, there's
run
a profit
the other direction.
Here.
Yeah, run the other direction. Yeah. Almost all those are totally unproven, and it's just bad. But there are some good reliable sites, mostly university associated sites. The Mayo Clinic has its site, WebMD, Spine.org, I think is what it is, which is our North American Spine Society, has some decent information, though it's a little biased towards surgery. But there are a number of websites that can give information. The key is to stay away from the commercial websites and stay more with the academic websites.
You know, it's a little bit like we talked earlier about New Orleans is trying to prey on people who are despondent or down on their luck. You come in and the vultures swoop in. They see a dollar to be made. And it's the same thing when people are in pain.
Yep.
I think a lot of whether it's pharmaceutical companies or those who have a product to sell, some scheme or scam, are determined to come in and take advantage. I don't feel the same way about a roofer, okay? If a guy comes and tries to sell me a roof and I buy it, that's my problem.
Right.
But if you're hurting and maybe your physical condition is such that you do something you otherwise wouldn't do, I don't have a lot of respect for those people. So,
well, neither do I.
Yeah. So, well, that's great to know that there are places out there, and the Mayo Clinic and most university medical programs, I imagine if you pick up the phone and place a call to your nearby medical school, wherever that is, at least they'll try to get you some responsible information.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are not academic surgeons or spinal practitioners who also do a great job.
Yeah.
It's just that when you're looking on the web, when you see a .com, you probably ought to think twice about going to that one if you want reliable information, unfortunately.
Dr. Jerry Kinnerk, his wife Cam, in studio here. And we will be right back with our final segment. Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.